I too greet each one of you this evening in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our brother has asked that we read from 2 Peter chapter 1, the first 11 verses. 2 Peter chapter 1, the first 11 verses. Our brother gave us a lot to think about last evening. And I spent most of the day thinking about weak spots or blind spots in my life. Some of these we know about and hide or overlook them, but we know about them. Some of these we don't know about, and we need help to see them. I was thinking about ways that we see our blind spots, and I believe there are a number of them. But I thought of Isaiah 57:15. I'd like to share that with you this evening. One way that we see our blind spots and help us to see our blind spots is to try to get a better understanding of who God is. Seems like the closer we get to God, the more we know about Him, the more we see ourselves for who we really are. Isaiah 57:15 says, "For thus saith the High and Lofty One that inhabits eternity, whose name is Holy, I dwell in a high and holy place." Many things there we learn about who God is. Some are very hard to understand. Dwelleth in eternity. But He's holy, He's high, He's lifted up. And he goes on to say, "I also dwell with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones." If revival comes, if the Holy Spirit moves, we'll have a better view, a more accurate view of who God is, and we'll see ourselves more clearly who we really are compared to the Holy God. Reading from 2 Peter chapter 1. "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Shall we kneel for prayer?
Well, good evening and welcome again to the Lord's house.
I'm just going to give you a couple appetizers this evening, things I thought about as I was on the road this morning. I guess the first one is, till the end of this evening, I would like you to, my goal is to get you so enthused in the scriptures and of Jesus Christ that tomorrow when you wake up and whoever you come in contact with, they're going to think, what's wrong with that guy? You see, I had that happen. It was either Rudders or Sheets or somewhere I stopped for something. And I go up to the checkout and I said hi to him. And he said, "Hi, how are you doing?" I said, "I'm doing awesome." He said, "What are you on?" I should have said, "Jesus Christ, you want some, right?" Yeah. And then also, There's three scriptures real quickly. Genesis chapter 8, 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. This is God talking to Noah after Noah was faithful in building the ark, saving the people. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14 and 15. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. And then Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2 says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and has given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So smell, a good smell is mentioned in all of these scriptures. And, you know, if a hog farmer comes to a room straight from the farm, he's going to smell like a hog, right? Same with a farmer coming from the barn or a turkey or chicken farmer. Or if a man's decked out in cologne or a woman decked out in perfume, their aroma fills the room, right? So I was thinking about it this morning as I'm driving down the road. You and I should be so full of Jesus and his ways, we smell up the room and leave a part of Jesus with everyone we come in contact with, shouldn't we? Yeah, just some things to think about. So, okay, let's get into the message. Thank you for your reading and your thoughts. Brother, the topic tonight is increase in your life the things of the Lord. And as he has read to us, to me, it's the recipe for a victorious Christian life. I'd just like to start out in verse 3. It says, he has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We have no excuse, brothers and sisters. We have no excuse not to be living for the Lord. Right here it is. He's given us everything to have victory in our lives. And then the thought of just the thought of the divine power we have. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We have the power. We have the means to live victorious over Satan. First John. Okay, let's start out looking at verses 5 through 7. I just simply have there the recipe for a victorious Christian life. The first one, it says, add to your faith virtue. And virtue is simply behavior showing high moral standards. Where are we at tonight? Do we even have any standards whereby we live by? Do we have any moral code that we live by? People say, well, no, once you accept Christ, you can do what you want. But you show me a business, you show me any kind of a business or operation that does not have some kind of bylaws or some kind of standards that they operate their business by. How do we all know Todd Mumbert? He's dressed in a UPS uniform, right? My good buddy Todd, yeah. So it does not matter who you look at or where you go. Sometimes it seems everything or everybody other than a Christian has a standard. Sometimes it appears that way. Do we have things we don't do because it violates the scripture? Do we have things we don't say? Because we shouldn't. Do we have places we won't go? And I jotted down there as I was sitting at the table, what you do a little today, tomorrow you'll do a lot. If you don't nip that thing in the bud that you shouldn't be doing, you'll be doing it a lot tomorrow. A slang word now. And then today, swearing will be the norm tomorrow. A questionable place we go today, tomorrow, if we don't stop it, it'll be the norm. You won't have victory in your life if you're allowing things to pull you down. Other words for virtue is goodness, uprightness, integrity, honesty, purity. and there's many more. Are these evident in your life tonight? Will these be evident in your life tomorrow? Next is knowledge. I believe we need to fill our lives with God, read His Word, do what it says, and don't do what it says not to do. It's on paper, it looks so easy, but in the flesh, too often it is. And as our brother was reading over there, the second verse, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Savior. So we truly seek God, that knowledge will just multiply and multiply and multiply so that we can know the things of the Lord. And when it comes to God's Word, are we reading it? Are we making application? And that's a weakness in my life. I do not read the Scriptures like I should. Especially the goal would be to read in the morning, but mornings and I don't get along. I'm doing good if I just get up and get awake and get to the truck and get going down the road. But I do try and read a verse in the morning at least to try and meditate it. But yeah, I definitely need to, in my life, brush up in that area. And then it's not only reading, but do we make application? Do we apply it to our lives? Do we live out the Bible? And that's so important, not only for us, but folks, you and I could be the only Bible that the world will read. Our actions, our reactions, what we do, what we say. You know, the world does know quite a bit. They do know the Scriptures. But when they see someone actually living it out, it's amazing what it does to them. Psalmist says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He also says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. We need to increase the Scriptures in our lives so that we can gain the victory over Satan. And I would like to encourage the young men here and the young sisters, but in your youth, I guess I'm speaking for myself, memorizing Scriptures. We went to a public school, but then private school late. And in the private school, we would have to memorize Scripture. And that wasn't my favorite thing. But I want to encourage you youth to read the Bible, get the Scriptures in your head, memorize it, because when you become a teacher, when you become a preacher, and I'm sure you other ministers can testify with me, but as you stand behind this sacred desk and you're bringing the Word, those Scriptures that you memorized years ago, God will bring them back at the proper time, and they're in your head, but you have to do your part and memorize them, read it. You might be in a discussion with one of your friends or your neighbor, and it's questioning Scripture or questioning something. And it's amazing if you can get the Scriptures in your head when you're young. That's the time to memorize it, not when you're old like me. But it's amazing how God will bring them Scriptures to you as you get in situations where it's necessary. Temperance. The ability to say no to the things that would hinder victory in our lives. That's actually a definition I made up myself. But it's just the ability to say no. The ability to discipline your life to the things of the Lord. That'll produce victory, brothers and sisters. The song says, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. The next one is patience. Patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay trouble or suffering without getting angry or upset. Other words for patient is forbearance, tolerance, self-restraint. And I'll testify tonight as I walked through the journey of cancer, as my wife was going through it. It taught us patience. It taught us to wait on the Lord. But again, I fear that is probably one of my biggest areas where I need more patience with people, more patience with situations that go against my grain, that go against what I want or what we want. Patience is waiting. And the scripture is different places. It says, wait on the Lord. Sometimes that's difficult. But in due time, God will reward. In due time, God will bring about his work. Hebrews 10:36, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. See, there's a purpose in patience. James 1:4. It says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That is the end result of patience. If somehow we can diligently pursue that, wait on God, and as his plan and his ways are revealed to us, that we would presume. God has a plan and a purpose for everything we experience in our lives. He does. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we grow weary as we're maybe put through chastisement, as we're put through purifying. Patience is needed in our purifying process as God works in our lives. And that is the ultimate goal of God. God is not being mean. God does not put us through these situations just because he needs something to do. But he puts us in these situations so that as we look to him, he can shine through us, shine through our lives, so we can radiate to the world around us what it means to serve Jesus. The next one is godliness. I just simply wrote down, godliness is increasing in our lives the things of the Lord, and living our lives every hour, every day, every month, every year to please our master. That's godliness. And my eyes jumped over as a brother was reading to go along with the thought of godliness there in 1 Peter 4. The first two verses says, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Listen, that ye no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. That's godliness, brothers and sisters. And that is what God called Jesus to, for an example, for us to follow. We need to be living to the will of God and not to our own fleshly desires. Definitely a challenge. Brotherly kindness simply means be kind to your brother, your sister, your friend, your neighbor, or whoever the Lord would choose that day to bring across your path, whoever the Lord would choose to bring in your presence that day. Show them kindness. We touched on this the other night, the golden rule. Treat others like you want to be treated, and love like God loved us. Charity. We want to go to 1 Corinthians. Where else, right? 1 Corinthians 13. I'll just read verses 4 through 8. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And I agree, as you look at the importance charity plays in all of these situations that we just read, I agree with verse 13. It says, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. I believe charity, I believe love is the greatest force on this side of eternity. There's weapons of war. There's mighty weapons. But I believe love is the greatest force that will reach an individual on this side of eternity. We just like to touch. If we continue reading there after charity, verse 8 of 2 Peter 1 says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is a guaranteed victory. This is a guaranteed recipe for victory if we would just bring ourselves to do what the scripture says. And then here's the thing, as you sisters bake a cake or bake a cookie and you taste that and maybe you forgot to put one of the ingredients in and it just don't taste right. So you rack your brain, you know, what did I miss? What did I forget? And this evening, if you're here, like me, struggling with some of these things that we just talked about here this evening, let's go back and add to what we're lacking. Let's get more knowledge. Let's be more patient. Let's be more temperate. Let's find the ingredient that we're lacking in and do our best to improve in that area. Pray to God that He would give us grace to allow these things to help us live a victorious life for Jesus Christ, promoting His kingdom. And I just made this statement at home in one of my last messages, and I want to repeat it here tonight as we look at this scripture. The Bible says, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. I'm going to suggest to you tonight, Jesus Christ never intended for us to fall. We will fail. We will fall. He sent an advocate for when we fall. But Jesus Christ and God never intended for us to fail. And this is a promise from Scripture. It's not eternal security. Hear me out. But the Bible says, if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. So the fault is here. The fault lies with you and I as we fail to do what the scripture says. But if we live them out, we have the promise here that we can live a victorious life. We can have victory over the things that Satan tries to tear us down with. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, the first three verses. It says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that your hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." You want to go on an awesome treasure hunt tomorrow? Open the scripture and read it. Open the scripture and study it. You'll find marvelous things in God's word. Read God's word and let the truth fill your heart. Tonight, if you want the treasure of Jesus Christ in your heart, we want to give you an invitation hymn. Will you empty your life of the things of self? Will you make room for Jesus tonight? Is there room in your heart for Jesus? And I want to, after Brother Zane stood last night and acknowledged a need in his life, tonight's invitation is going to be for anyone. If you're here and want to accept Jesus as your Savior, stand. If you're here and you're struggling with something, stand. You know, Zane was the strongest man in the house last night. There's no hope unless you acknowledge your need and get prayers from the saints and help from Jesus. What shall we sing?
That very, very fitting. We've asked Brother Paul to lead us in a word of prayer. Let's stand.